It's time for the VolQuest Mailbag Podcast, answering your questions from the General's Quarters every week, right here on VolQuest.
Hey, good Thursday morning, everybody. Welcome to the VolQuest Mailbag Podcast. I'm Eric Kane, alongside Austin Price, Brent Hubbs, and Rob Lewis. As always, big thank you to our presenting sponsors, that is Exterior Home Solutions. They've been local and trusted since 1999. If you have a need for roofing, siding, a garage, windows, repair, renovation, whatever the case is, contact Exterior Home Solutions today at 865-524-5888 or online at exteriorhomesolutions.com. Got a lot of questions to get into, so we'll jump into it with a couple here from Nashfall 615. Are you worried they aren't getting enough contact work in fall camp? Will tackling be an issue early in the season? Seems like they're holding a lot of key guys out for precautionary reasons.
I mean, I think it's a valid concern, Hubs. I mean, we've seen that before, whether it be offensive players having not been hit during fall camp and fumbling like Jalen Wright from a couple of years ago, at least for the first couple of games, so he kind of got acclimated, or defensive players, who weren't great tacklers early because they didn't get a ton of work. So, I mean, I think it's a valid concern. I don't think we'll know for sure until the season gets going.
Well, I think it's a concern every year. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, the old days of two-a-days and beating people up to beat people up are just over. I mean, there's too much. You have your roster size is smaller in terms of how many people are going to play and help you. And you've got so much, Rob, you got all these analytics now, right? You got your performance coaches and your nutritionists and all these things that are diving into all the analytics of human performance. And you're just trying to manage guys. I mean, I would be much more concerned about this if Tennessee were playing Clemson or Georgia to open the season versus who they're open. I mean, I think you can handle this camp differently because of your opening opponent. Again, I'm not knocking the mocks, okay? But you can handle it different because of who you're playing versus if you were opening one of those prize fight money games in Jerry's world somewhere, or something like that.
Yeah, and I mean, and Hubbard, in all you guys, I mean, unless you're playing one of those games, I mean, I think, Georgia, Clemson, I think everybody probably is treating August that way because, I mean, if you're Josh Hyatt, I mean, this happens all over the country, but like Jordan Thomas gets, I mean, I know it was non-contact, but, he gets hurt on that Saturday and, just like, why do we even, what we did that Saturday morning worth, losing Jordan Thomas for, I'm just saying when something like that happens, I think coaches, back off even more in the preseason because, I mean, look at the NFL now. I mean, you play, starters, a couple of series in the preseason.
I mean, how's Texas handled it, Rob, after they lost two running backs?
Yeah, exactly. I'm just saying, I mean, I think, Hubbard, you're right. I mean, from the days of us at AP, you were there. You were 17 years old, but you were down on the baseball field, when they were practicing, two-a-days. I mean, that's like so ancient history.
It's archaic. I mean,
And if you look at it, when you lose a guy, I mean, Hubbard, it wasn't on the baseball field. It was back in that day and age. They lost Robert Beecham. I think standing next to each other. We kind of saw it happen, like in the end zone of the practice field. And you just kind of wonder, it's always a balancing act. You want to get contact. But, man, when you lose somebody in the preseason, you're like, man, is it worth it?
Now, I think if you're Josh Heupel, I mean, you're worried about a running back fumbling, but I think your biggest thing offensively, particularly for those linemen around, is just game shape conditioning. When you go as fast as you can go, I mean, like, what do those guys look like at the end of the first quarter? How gassed are those guys going to be that got a dozen scrimmage reps? And I know they do some 11-on-11 stuff, but it's different than the adrenaline of a game and going that way. So I think that's your bigger offensive concern. You always miss tackles week one. I mean, it's just a given. You're trying to minimize as many of those as you can because you can practice every tackling drill known to man. You're going to miss tackles week one until you get into game shape and game mode in the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, and you're going to get slapped in the face with getting in game shape or lack thereof for week one as well. It always slaps you in the face that first game. You can do all the conditioning in the world. You can, be out there in 100 degrees scrimmaging and all that, but until you're out there in the first game and you're playing 70, 80 snaps, like, you're going to be sucking wind anyway. But, I mean, that's how they were against Virginia last year as well. But 100% I agree with you. We mentioned Lance Hurd in this regard, and just getting him out there and getting him reps in the tempo and, you know, some of these other guys as well. It's a lot different than 11-on-11 where you might go three or four plays tempo, then stop, let's talk about it, let's run it back, let's look at this. Can't do that in a game. And they didn't do an awful lot of that in the scrimmages. It was still situational. A couple more here from Nashville 615. Who would you rather have at safety from a talent perspective? Jalen McCullough and Wesley Walker or Andre Turrentine and Will Brooks?
Jalen McCullough is obviously doing some good things with the Rams. I mean, yeah, he is. You know, seemingly every preseason play. Jalen McCullough had his best year last year. I mean, he did. He played his best. He had his best year of football last year. I mean, what's our sample size for Will Brooks? 80 snaps?
Very little. Yeah, very little.
I mean, what's our sample size for Andre Turrentine? 50-60 snaps, something like that. I mean, against an Iowa team that was the most pedestrian offense we've ever seen at any point in time. So, you know, on paper, who are the more talented players? I would say athletically, Turrentine's more talented than Wesley Walker, right? And I would say Jalen McCullough is a faster player than is probably quicker than Will Brooks. Fair or not fair?
I mean, that's fair right now.
I haven't seen enough to know.
Yeah. Probably that's the better answer. I mean, but if you're trying to get pinpointed down to something, I mean, I guess I would go that way. But I mean, it's not just about speed. It's about play recognition, false. There's so much involved there that
you can be a touch slower, but if you can play faster because you're smarter.
Yeah. I mean, your anticipation is right. And, you know, you're going to, and again, McCullough had his best year last year. That's just a reality. That's the fact. Of where he was at. So we'll see what this safety group looks like.
And again, you hope it's that conversation where it's Andre Turrentine and Will Brooks / Jacoby Thomas / we'll see if it happens.
I mean, it better be in week one.
Yeah.
But we'll
see. Another one here. Do you think the coaches wish they had tried harder to keep Danico Slaughter or Wesley Walker currently starting for other Power Four teams, AP?
Danico Slaughter, maybe. I mean, they didn't want to really lose Danico Slaughter. Wesley Walker, no.
Magavals, after Onus commits on Friday, over under 1.5 more commits for the class of 2025.
You know, that's a great number too. I think they'll get at least one. I think it depends on, you know, what they can find or flip out of the defensive lineman. I think they'll get another running back. I'm not really going to answer the question because I just don't know. They're obviously working DeJuan Morris. That's still kind of in its, you know, I won't say infancy, but it's not got to the main event yet either. And then these defensive linemen, that's just kind of, you know, very much in its infancy as they kind of scour. They'll start scouring senior film here in the next few weeks when kids get a few games under their belt and kind of see what happens. So if you held a gun to my head right now, I'd probably tell you probably under, just because I think that, you know, they may not find anybody, and they may end up going to the transfer portal.
Go ahead, Rob.
I was just saying, AP, on Morris, besides Tennessee, is everybody in the SEC kind of lurking, you know, waiting to pounce?
Well, Auburn certainly is, Rob. They've been in play there. But they're also in play with, you know, Usman and some different other tailbacks that are out there. So, and then, you know, we talked about in the Monday night chat, you know, what happens with Justin Baker? You know, he took that visit to North Carolina. You know, if he ends up, you know, kind of going in a different direction, you know, obviously Tennessee's going to, you know, up their efforts for DeJuan Morris even more. And we'll see what happens going forward.
AP, who are your three most favorite recruits in the class that you think are going to be great here?
Well, I mean, you have to put David Sanders up there. You know, I like him a lot. That's a good one. And honestly, when I look at it, I really like Desaun Brame long term. He's going to have to put on some weight, but you know, they can throw pounds on kids really quick. And you know, after that, I really like Douglas Utu. I really do. I like the lineman that they brought in. I like Anthony Ogumoro. I mean, he and Utu would probably be like right there, you know, tipping the scales with each other. I like both.
Megaval 98 wants to know, from a media member's perspective, which SEC stadiums are your favorite and least favorite to cover a game at? We know that Hubs does not like calling a game at Auburn. What are some other ones that are not very fun?
I mean, do you guys like watching a game at Auburn from the end?
No, it's terrible. It's even worse, Auburn, because it went from maybe being the best with the open air, you know, old school, and to where it is now. So that makes it even tougher for Auburn.
Yeah, I mean, I think from a viewing standpoint, that one's the worst. I mean, now South Carolina, from a broadcast standpoint, you're in another county. It feels like
clouds, buddy. And,
I mean, you're way out there.
Well, and A&M.
A&M's even more. Yeah, I actually think A&M's a bit worse.
A&M's high and far away in that regard. So, I mean,
I like Mr. Claude Felton's press box at Georgia.
I think Georgia's view. Now, at some point, I think we're going to end up probably in the end zone at Georgia.
They're changing it right now, aren't they?
I think there's movement to move. To make that area suites, because that's
I'll say Mr. Felton again. You have to open a door to get from the dining, the back area to get to where you're seating. It's open air. I mean, Georgia's, it's old school. Man, I think Georgia's outside is probably my favorite.
A new multi-level press box is going to be constructed in the southwest corner of the stadium as part of a $68.5 million two-phase renovation.
Yeah, so you're going to go like like you're at Pittsburgh.
LSU's press box was freaking awesome.
Yeah, I still scarred from 05, so I got nothing good about that one. It is nice now, but they ruined their whole experience.
Missouri's awful. Missouri's awful. Is terrible. When you have to walk across like the Death Star catwalk when you get out of the elevator.
Well, also, you know, if it's muggy outside, you can't see through the windows.
I mean, everything about Missouri is like high school.
Easy. Eli needs some people to come watch him play.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you can't. I'm sorry you can't sell out Murray State, Eli. But I mean, that's enough. You don't even have your end zone filled in.
Super underrated for me is Arkansas. It's a hard place to get to, but I like you know, the stadium. I like the setup there. Love Texas A&M. You know, I'm with Rob. I love Georgia. As far as just kind of the view, despise Florida. Hate that. It's always
Florida's terrible. Kentucky's trash. Put your stadium on campus, please.
I've always said this: Kentucky and Vanderbilt are two of my favorite to go to because the vibe is such a high school atmosphere.
It's easy in, easy out. It's small time. It's small time.
Kentucky redid their press box. It's a lot nicer.
It is nicer.
Well, it's really nice. It's really nice.
If you went to the old school place, it's very, very different.
It's the nicest high school press box I think I've ever been in at Kentucky.
Wow. Great.
Put your stadium on campus. South Carolina, looking at you too.
Baseball stadium at Kentucky, new press box.
Very nice.
Awesome. Really, really nice. If you could pick two teams for Harrison, where he'll end up with, or will he take the field? What would you do? Curious how open this recruitment is. Kendra Harrison.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. That's a great question. I think he likes Tennessee a ton. Likes Tennessee a lot. And David Sanders is going to lean on that kid. He will be all over him. And so he'll be all over Leo Delaney as well. But again, I think it boils down to like your NIL offer. I think it boils down to relationships. I think his relationships at Tennessee are going to be really, really good. But is Tennessee going to be willing to go big at the tight end spot there? I don't know. We'll see. But I definitely think the Vols, as we sit here right now, are deep, deep, deep in that one and very much a real factor.
Thoughts on Ryan Day? You think he caught Michigan at a bad time, or do you think he's always going to be a solid coach that can't maximize on his insane amount of NFL talent? Rob.
I mean, totally outside looking in, don't know anything. I mean, he looks to me like a guy that was born on third base. I mean, how hard is that job? Again, total outside looking in. I don't know the nuts and bolts, but I mean, that seems like that thing looks like it's on autopilot.
Well, yeah. I do think it got a lot tougher with the additions to the conference because, you know.
Well, now, yeah, for sure.
Well, now, today, but what about today, the last 4 years?
Yeah, again, he's had it on autopilot. You're right. And, you know, has found a way to, you know, kind of fumble it away a couple of times. But, you know, I mean, they're always going to have talent there. will be interesting to see when these future schedules come out. Just, you know, like these trips to Washington, you know, to Oregon, to USC, to UCLA, those teams coming there, how much that alters Ohio State as far as just being a little bit more of a rigorous schedule.
How much did Connor Stallions take that thing off autopilot? I mean, if I know that there's a Netflix documentary coming out on it, but I mean, how much? Who knows what's real and what's right, real, no. What's not real? But how much of a disadvantage, or how much did that hurt the, because basically they're playing one game a year at Ohio State, right?
Yeah,
up until now. So how much did that mess that thing up? I'll be curious to see what Ryan Day in Michigan looks like moving forward with all of that supposedly done and Harbaugh gone and all those things.
Most likely to end the regular season this way. UGA outside the top five, so Georgia not in the top five. Bama outside the top 10, or Texas outside the top 10.
Oh, give me Texas all day on that one.
I agree with this.
I would agree.
Yeah, that's probably where I would go. Probably a safer pick.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think Georgia's finishing outside the top five. I think Kalen DeBoer's got a lot of talent to work with. I mean, it'd be interesting to see how Texas handles all the expectations that are on them now that they move into they're moving into this league. What's the grind of that look like week in and week out? You can't take a lot of weeks off if you're at Texas right now, which you could previously.
Yeah, and they play Georgia. And what other big?
They play Bama. They play Georgia.
Bama.
It's almost like Tennessee's schedule.
I know. Again, I said it the other day. I said it last week. Like, it cracks me up. Everybody's talking about how Tennessee's schedule is so easy. And it's like Tennessee plays Georgia and Alabama every single year. Z-Vol says, more likely to happen, offense averages over 35 points per game in SEC play, or defense allows less than 23 points per game in SEC play.
I'd probably go offense based on history.
And style of play just in college football today.
Yeah. I mean, and I think Tennessee's offensive style of play makes it hard for Tennessee to play a lot, have a lot of games where they're holding somebody to 17 points, you know, 20 points, just given what they're doing offensively, the number of possessions that each game entails. By the way, I mean, remember this time last year, everybody's talking about the clock rule, taking away possessions in college football games. I mean, like, that was now. Just turned out to be a nothing, right? I mean,
it killed Tennessee's offense last year. Tennessee's offense was so bad.
It's just funny how that was like, oh, it really changed. No, it doesn't change anything. I'm going to short games.
I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to say the defense.
Okay.
I think, especially if they can stay healthy.
You know, AP, what do you know about the offense, man? What do you know that's got us worried over there?
Nothing. I just think the defense. I'm a big fan of the front seven. I just think.
Everyone should be, yeah.
But I mean, yeah, everybody talks about the defensive line, but I just think the linebackers are going to take a big step.
The linebackers were not good last year, and there was a lot of injuries there, for sure. And Aaron Beasley played hurt all year long. I mean, he was not himself. You could tell. That group last year was not good. I think it's going to be significantly better this year as a group. And, I mean, you hope everybody stays healthy, but even those guys that were forced into playing time last year, they're a year older. Their experience, they know the speed of the. I mean, you know, they're going to be so much better. Vols by 50. If we're as deep as we hope we are at skill positions like wide receiver, running back, and tight end, what new wrinkles in the offense would you like to see this year? More use of the tight ends, two running back sets, four wide receiver sets. Any changes or just improved execution from last year?
I'll be better in the red zone. I mean, I've harped on that one. I mean, that's one that jumps out at me. I don't think they're going to be a four-wide team because the tight end is so important to what they're doing. I do think you'll see more two tight end sets than you've seen in the past.
And I think you'll see that a lot in the red zone, and like within the 10-yard line.
Ethan Davis is, I mean, maybe the thing I'm most interested to see with this offense. I mean, you know, I don't know what he had at Central Florida, but he's not had a guy like Ethan in this offense. So as innovative as Josh is, I'm really curious to see what they can do with a guy like that.
All right, we got plenty more questions to get into, but first, let's get a word from our proud sponsors. That is over at Game Time. Game Time is an app that you can download it and you can buy tickets to events in your area. It could be sporting events, could be concerts, could be comedy shows, could be whatever the heck's going on over at the Food City Center at Thompson Bowling Arena. You can buy tickets to those events on the Game Time app. Also, the Tennessee Smokies. I know they're going to be in downtown Knoxville next year, but in Kodak right now, you can buy tickets to go see the Tennessee Smokies. And while you're on that Game Time app, you have so many ways to buy tickets, so many features you can take advantage of, like Game Time Picks, all-in prices, where it's the toggling feature that allows you to show the total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. You can get views of your seat so you know exactly what you're paying for. You got the lowest price guarantee, where Game Time, they're going to credit you 110% of the difference if you find a cheaper ticket in the same section on an alternative app. Plus, the Game Time ticket coverage gives you the best customer service policy in the ticketing industry. All that and more is on Game Time. So, download the Game Time app, create an account, put in the promo code ON3, promo code ON3, and you're going to get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, safe, secure, easy-to-use account, download that Game Time account, put in the promo code ON3, that's O-N-3, ON3 for $20 off. Download Game Time today, last-minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. And as always, we want to give a shout-out to our presenting sponsors. That is Exterior Home Solutions.
Severe weather can strike at any time in East Tennessee, and Mother Nature can do severe damage to the first and most important line of defense that you and your family have against Mother Nature, and that is your roof. Whenever she strikes, make sure that you call the people that I call. Make sure you trust the people that I trust, and that's my friends at Exterior Home Solutions, because they're more than friends, they're truly family.
That phone number is 865-524-5888, or you can visit Exterior Home Solutions online at exteriorhomesolutions.com. All right, we'll jump back into the questions here on the VolQuest Mailbag Podcast. Doolittle Vol wants to know, who will have the most receiving yards on the team, and who will lead the team in interceptions this season?
I'll go Jermond McCoy in interceptions and receiving yards. I just don't know. I mean, everybody asked that question. I'd probably go Squirrel. But, you know, if they truly play a bigger rotation, I think that that's more up in the air.
Well, Squirrel's going to get the most balls thrown his way because of the slot receiver, unless they rotate him, unless they rotate at that slot more than they have in the past. I mean, I think that's a hard question to answer until, as you said, Austin, you know what they're rotating at. I think what's pretty interesting about the corner position is I think they had 5 interceptions at corner last year, Rob. 3 of those were by Kamal Haddon, who obviously only played 7 games. And then you had Gabe Judy Lolly had one. And then you had the tip
Warren drill. Burrell had one.
Yeah, and Warren Burrell had a tip drill interception to and mop-up duty. So, I mean, the corners didn't put themselves in positions to make a ton of plays last year. So Josh has bragged about him, Rob. We'll see how much more productive they are compared to what we saw from him a year ago.
He's been really hot. I mean, not necessarily the corners, but secondary in general. I mean, I think I know that wasn't the question. It was like the interception, but sidebar. I mean, do you think, I mean, that's been a talking point that every time he comes in there, he has an index card. He's like, talk up the secondary, because that's been, I think, kind of a theme.
Well, he knows that is a theme of fall camp. He knows that's a theme. He knows that's what we're writing about. I mean, that's a huge question mark about his football team. So, but I mean, also, I mean, it seems like he likes the options, the athletic ability back there. Just got to come together and see what they do on Saturdays. So,
I think those corners should be super aggressive, AP. I mean, I think you should take chances out there and stop giving yourself a big cushion when you know what you have up front.
When James Pierce is getting home in 2.1 seconds.
I mean, I think you can play tighter, and I think McCoy's pretty fearless. So I'm very curious to see how he plays in his transition to the SEC and how aggressive he is.
And the best thing you got going for you is he and Ricky Gibson have 2 years left. I mean, you have them at least for 2 more years. They each have 3 years left technically, but like you have them for back-to-back years. They're not one and done, right? And so like if you get good play out of the corners, that's kind of who you blocked in for the next couple of years, which is huge.
And I know, everybody knows this is not gospel, but if you listen to Chris Brazel, you know, last week, you know, giving a scouting report, he was higher on Ricky Gibson than anybody else. You know, he goes against in practice every day.
Said if you don't play physical against Ricky, Ricky's going to put you on the sideline. I thought that was a really, really good little quote there. So something to look forward to. Vol_fan89 with the level Tennessee's been recruiting at recently. What should the expectation for this fan base be moving forward with the new playoff era, seeing us as 10-2 will likely get you in most years? In it every single year, one out of every 3 years, one out of every 5 years. What should the expectation be for Tennessee and the college football playoff?
I mean, I think Tennessee should be at a point where every week that you go play, you think you got a chance to win the football game. Now, I mean, we all know, I mean, crazy things happen, right? I mean, a bad bounce here. I mean, there's all kind of, I mean, I don't think you can come back and say, if Josh Heupel doesn't make the playoffs every year, he should be let go. You know, or if he's not in the playoffs every other year, then he's not getting it done. I mean, I think you got to remember where you've been, and I think your first step is make it at some point here, but also understand that you can go to the ball yard every Saturday with a legitimate shot to win the football game. And we're not that far removed from that not being the case with the Tennessee football program. And nobody, and I'm not trying to preach, but nobody should forget that fact, you know, that there you went through a stretch of about a decade where can they keep it respectable, right? I mean, before you beat Alabama in 22, I think Alabama's five previous trips to Neyland Stadium, their average win was 27 points. You were getting blown out at home. So you're still making steps. I mean, I think you're trying to be in the hunt every year, AP.
Amen, Brother Hubs. Amen.
Well, I mean, you said that that job has to make it here, right? I mean,
I mean, I agree. Like, you can't forget where you've been. It still would be disappointing if Tennessee doesn't at least win 9 games. I think it'd be disappointing if, you know, for all of all fans, if you don't improve off of last year's record because of what you have. But you've got to get to 10, I think, to make the playoff. So, I mean, it can be both ways. You can remember where you've been and understand that you're continuing the trajectory here without, you know, going the other direction. So, I mean, yeah, I think it's good advice. Now, will Vol fans listen? Probably not, because they all expect to be in the playoff. And, hey, look, what did we predict? We predicted them to be in the playoff at 10-2, right?
And look, the commitment you're making in this sport right now, the commitment you're making in athletics at the University of Tennessee, Rob, I mean, you better be in the hunt for championships, which in football, that means you're making the playoffs. In basketball, that means you're making a deep run with a chance to go to the Final Four on a regular basis, a semi-regular basis. But, I mean, it shouldn't be a parade when you play in a regional championship game. Like, you should be getting into that mix regularly. Baseball, you're not going to win the College World Series every year, but you need to be a regional team, super regional type team every year. I mean, with the commitment level that is going on in athletics right now at Tennessee, there's expected success, and there's nothing wrong with having those expectations.
Nope, could not agree more. I mean, you look at facilities, resources. I mean, you won't have any 100%. You guys know this. Any of the coaches of the three major sports, they'll tell you they got what they need to compete. I mean, nobody's. You're not getting anybody, you know, taking veiled shots at the athletic director, you know, in a press conference at Tennessee, like, you know, because we need this or we need that. All the bullets are in the holster.
I think the expectation for football should be you make the playoffs every year, but knowing, like, you're not, I mean, that's not how it works all the time. Like, you're not going to make it every single
sometimes
year.
Sometimes the injury is going to stall you. Sometimes the schedule is going to stall you. Sometimes weather in a game may cause you.
Yeah. I mean, it's like when AP steps on that first, he's expected to shoot par every time. You know, sometimes it's going to be 73. Sometimes it's going to be 69, but the expectations are what they are.
But with the 12-team playoff, and I know that there's a group of five, you know, automatic bid in there, and I get there's some specifics in terms of the seeding, but there's 12 teams that get in. So you need to be top 15. I mean, you are right there on the doorstep in that conversation every single year. That, in my opinion, should be 100% the expectation every single year. iHeartVols asks, do national recruiting guys like Will Fong and Simmons make their predictions based on their own intel? Do they talk to local guys like AP and Matt or both? If it's the latter, why were they talking up everybody but Tennessee in the early stages of the Sanders recruitment?
You know, I don't know. I can't speak for that. But, yeah, they talk to us. They talk to, you know, team guys at other places. They talk to other sources. And then they try to piece it all together and formulate the best, you know, kind of thought process they can out of their all of their different intel. They're not just calling Austin and going, hey, what do you think? And then just basing it off what I say, or calling Tim Watts at Alabama, or, you know, Shea Dixon at LSU. They're going to call several different people and kind of get a feel for the overall recruitment and then kind of go from there.
AP, correct me if I'm wrong, but up until Memorial Day weekend, David Sanders had been at more places other than Tennessee, right? I mean, like, his cluster of Tennessee visits came starting at Memorial Day weekend when he came in, and then he came back for around the NIL deal, and then he had his official visit. Like, he saw Tennessee three times in 5 weeks, right?
Well, you go back to April, he saw Tennessee back-to-back weekends.
Okay, so he did see that.
Yeah, he was here for the spring game, and then he was here for the week before the spring game. So it was a little bit before that. But, yeah, I mean, you look at the number of times he was here from April on, and, you know, you can start to kind of get a feel for, you know, kind of where this thing was headed.
Coach 93, what about this coming season has you all the most excited? I think, feel like Nico's the layup Nico. Answer there, right?
Nico.
Yeah, and again, I mean, you think they can line up and play with anybody. I mean, until you've flown across the country to Oregon, knowing that thing's going to be as bad as Oregon wants it to be, you appreciate the fact that you get to go cover a team that's got a chance to win every game they play. And I know that sounds simplistic, but when you fly 5 hours knowing that they got no shot and you got to cover that one, and nobody really wants to read anything about that game.
Nope.
That's not a lot of fun.
And you watch Chris Jones go out there after
and watch Marcus Mariota warm up.
Yeah.
Not a great feeling.
You know, but I mean, obviously there's a ton of excitement with Nico. I mean, they have some potential stars. I mean, they've got some star power on this team. We think Nico's going to be a star. James Pierce is a star. I mean, they've got some splash to this team.
I mean, this is insane. I mean, and it's total hype about Nico because you don't know. But, I mean, they could have two top five NFL draft picks on this team if Nico is Bryce Young, which is not far-fetched. James Pierce is James Pierce. I mean, that's legit. Mm-hmm. That's already happened.
Yeah. Yeah, that's real right now. And then we'll see, obviously, how Nico does and what his draft stock looks like for the 26th go. I'm like AP. Outside of Nico, I cannot wait to see this operation on the defensive line. And we've seen the rotation. We've seen, you know, last couple of years, and they've been good the last couple of years. TFL numbers been over 100 twice out of the last 3 years. Sack numbers have been better. I just think they're going to be great this year. Don't tell Rodney though. What are the biggest challenges of the NC State matchup? Rob, you do those opponent previews. Tell us about NC State.
Well, I mean, you just wonder about the quarterback. I mean, how quickly are they able to assimilate, you know, the Coastal Carolina guy, you know, into the offense? You know, their best receiver is probably, you know, based on the numbers, should be a transfer. I mean, just that's it. I mean, how quick are they able to get all that? Everybody on the same page offensively with a new quarterback. I mean, a guy that's a big deal. I mean, Tennessee's seen it, you know, having a transfer quarterback. It didn't go super smooth. I mean, I'm not trying to say, you know, not putting that on Joe, but it's having a transfer quarterback in game one or month one is a big deal. So, I mean, I think playing NC State early is a great situation for Tennessee.
Who leads the team in rushing touchdowns after week two? Because, I mean, the post was trying to say there's going to be a lot of people to carry the ball. Maybe not as much Seldon and Sampson week one, a whole lot of Bishop and Lewis. But after week two, I'll still say it's Sampson because I think Sampson's going to go in there, get a little bit of his in week one, and then take a seat. And Sampson better carry the ball or touch the ball a ton against NC State. So I'll say Sampson.
Yeah, I mean that's the logical pick. He's the starting tailback. You know, Nico's going to have some rushing touchdowns. He'll have more than Joe had. You know, I don't know if he'll have Hooker rushing touchdowns, but he'll be a real factor in the red zone at that point.
Will there be a VolQuest tailgate for any game this year or any VolQuest meetups that we can expect and plan for, Brent Hubbs?
Austin's actually rented a couple of buses. He's going to have parking at his subdivision in Hardin Valley and going to take a party bus from his place to the stadium. It's going to be a really fun event. Look for those details in that super secret email.
I miss Darius Moore.
Listen, to answer the question on the tailgate, one, space on campus is, you know, where are you going to have one at on campus? I mean, I don't have a parking spot in G10. The other thing too is, I mean, we all have responsibilities, you know, pregame and stuff that you've got to get done. I mean, obviously I'm going into the radio booth early to do things. So, in terms of, I mean, we'll stop by a tailgate, right? AP, you bounce through and see people from time to time, but in terms of us doing an official tailgate on campus, that's, in all seriousness, that's not in the plans.
And never will be.
It's just hard. I'm not against anybody. I don't have a parking spot and I got to get to the ball yard 4 hours before kickoff.
Y'all need to do one for a baseball game. That'd be an easier time to do one for sure. I miss Darius Moore. What is the process of connecting with recruits and their families for the VolQuest staff? I feel like there's a lot of bad actors in the sports media world, and it seems like the VolQuest guys are able to create some real connections with our recruits and their families.
Just be you.
Yeah, just be normal.
You.
I mean, not
call a kid 10 times over the course of a day.
Well, and I think the other thing too is when, you know, you just don't everything. When you're talking to parents in particular, everything for them can't feel like an interview when you see them somewhere. You know what I mean? It can't feel, you just got to be real and just have normal conversations, you know? And I think that's something that's not an act. That's not, okay, I got to go talk. I mean, it's just, you be yourself, you know? And I don't mind meeting new people. So I've kind of enjoyed meeting parents.
Paul Nugs 1421. Will ESPN's marquee game of the week be at 7 or keep the 3:30 time slot?
ESPN's marquee game? I mean, yes. They're gonna go prime time as much as they can. Now they're gonna have an ABC marquee game. I mean, they're gonna have a bunch of games. I think they're gonna try to market their night game as their marquee game as much as they can. Much like the Big Ten took the noon slot for their marquee game on Fox, you know, for a lot of the Big Ten games, you know, they play an early game a lot of times. So I think ESPN is going to try to do a good number of night games with their marquee game, but we'll see how all that shakes out. Cause they're bringing in to their football package, the best conference in college football. So, but they're also, you know, they've got Clemson games and Florida State games and, you know, they've got a lot of games out there to cover, so we'll see how it all works.
Yeah, we were going over some travel details for the season yesterday. Me and Matt were talking, and we were trying to go through the schedule and figure out that Oklahoma game. It's a flex, and so we're like, okay, well, what are the chances it's 3:30 to 4:30 or, you know, 6 to 8? We're kind of going through, and we're like, well, this matchup, we just have no clue how ESPN is going to treat that, because we do think that, like you said, the more marquee game, they want in the nighttime, because that's, you know, kind of the obvious choice. And I don't know, it'll be confusing, but there's some good games on that weekend, specifically for Tennessee, Oklahoma, not like the Tennessee, Florida weekend where the college football slate's just loaded October the 12th. I think not like that weekend, but Gator Dog wants to know, do you think Alabama can maintain its success with its current recruiting strategy? Most of their top recruits are from the West Coast or Texas, despite the state of Alabama being loaded. Seems like Auburn is loading up on in-state talent.
Eric, was that actually from Jesse Simonton or just the username that's getting called?
Just the username.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Austin, I think that's the easier thing for them. I mean, Alabama's a national brand because of the success that they've had. So if you're Kalen DeBoer and that staff that you put together, and you're in a tight window, right? You've got a shorter window to put a class together because he arrived in January and everybody's committing in June. I think you go to where you have your relationships, and those relationships transcend because it's Alabama. You can make that relationship with a California kid in some cases work. Now I think long term you're going to see them recruit the state of Alabama much better, but that staff just didn't have any real Alabama ties when they got there. So the easier thing to go is to the places that you know and the guys you've been recruiting for a year and say, hey, come to the SEC instead of going to the Big Ten and traveling all over the country to play at Washington. Just follow me here. I think that's the easiest way for them to recruit in a short window.
All right, so
does not agree or does agree?
No, I agree with that. I mean, I think – I'm sitting here thinking about it. Like, I think Alabama, it's all relative. Like, you know, how many times has, you know, there been a kid that was a, quote, four-star type player in the state of Tennessee where Tennessee didn't take him and everybody's like, oh, why would you not take that kid? And then they go somewhere else and they just don't pan out and Tennessee looks right. Now, there was a class in 2017 when you did that with Butch Jones and they all ended up, it all ended up blowing up in your face. But like more times than not over the last, you know, handful of years, there have been several that were highly ranked guys that either have done very little or have done nothing at other schools. And you just go back and look at the state rankings from, let's say, 2020 to now, and I think you're going to go, wow, he's right. And so, like, I think Alabama's looking at it that way. Like, you know, they would have taken some of those kids. They had a few of them committed. Auburn obviously was going to, you know, swing bigger than Alabama wanted to swing in NIL with those kids because they feel like they can go out of state. And so you're right. The natural reaction is let's go where we have more ties. That's what they've done. And it's not like Alabama. I mean, Alabama's got the number two class in the country. You know, right. I mean, I'd rather have the number two class in the country with you know, kids that you know want to be there than just a class full of a bunch of Alabama kids just because. So it's not like that they're recruiting. I mean, like, it'd be different if Alabama was ranked like 13th class in the country and they had not taken all these in-state kids. They're number two in the country. And had Jaden Harmon not flipped, Alabama probably have the number one class in the country right now.
Well, and Alabama has a history. It's not like they loaded up with 17 in-state players in every Nick Saban class out there that was the number one class in the country, right? I mean, they're bringing in kids from Texas. They're bringing in kids
from California and
wherever.
Hawaii. Know?
Yeah. So, I mean, they have recruited nationally, which makes it easier for them to go, you know, to the places that this coaching staff has ties to. But by the way, I every time your light goes out, I think we need to cue up the old Frank Gifford Monday Night Football, turn out the lights, the party's over song. Because I think that means it's time to go to the house.
Eric, I think it's time to buy a new light. What kind of light just goes out after 35 minutes? Like, is it you don't have a charge? Or is it new batteries?
It's plugged in. I've used it for like 2 or 3 years. It's plugged in. And out about 6 weeks ago, it just started going out every time you go past 40 minutes. So I have no clue. Yeah. I'm about to move, so whenever I move, I'm going to trash and buy a new one. I look like that
person getting ready to be interviewed and don't want to – my identity must remain anonymous.
He's on unsolved mysteries.
I was told that you cannot get a first down in practice.
All right. On that note, we will end on this one. We had them in written form yesterday, but staff predictions for this season. AP, kick us off here briefly. Tell us what your record was and kind of defend your answer a little bit.
I don't know if there is any defending it. I just think they're going to go 10-2. I don't know who they're going to lose to. I'm not, you know, because I just don't, because I know they can win. As Hub said, you know, every game they're going to strap them up for, they have a legitimate chance to
click, win. Click.
I would tell you they're probably going to lose to Georgia and then some anonymous game other than that. But, you know, I think this team's got what it takes offensively. As long as they can keep number 8 upright, I think they're going to be really good. Defensively, I think they're going to be really good. So I just have them, you know, surviving the first month of neutral site and multiple road games and then finding the mojo to get to 10-2 and into the college football playoff.
I had 12-0, and Hubbard told me we couldn't have that much unbridled optimism on the website. So I dialed it back. I'm 10-2, but 11-1 would not surprise me.
I put the curse on them, so it's all my fault when it doesn't go the way you want to because I was optimistic in my pick, which is the greatest stunner of all stunners when I picked Tennessee 10-2. So, I'm the curse, right? Because if you're going to know 10-2, that means, I guess, you know what's going to happen when Florida comes to town. I guess I can't say – I got to see it to believe it anymore when the Gators come to town at this point.
AP, will there ever, before it's said and done, will anybody have ever hedged a 10-2 pick more than the Hover? Before kickoff next week, will anybody have ever hedged it?
No, not at all.
They'll lose to Florida.
I didn't say they're going. I'm just saying I picked them 10-2, and I mean, that's outside of my comfort zone, right? Because the easy answer for me would have been 9-3, but I went 10-2. So I'm drinking some Kool-Aid.
Biggest reason for the improved play for the double-digit win season? Is it as simple as Nico at quarterback? Is it more depth? Is it more talent? What is your simple reason why Tennessee's going to increase their win total by two in the regular season?
I think they're going to be I think they're going to be better, more efficient offensively. I think they're going to be able to finish drives. I think they're going to be able to do more things in the middle of the field. I think they're going to put more stress back to putting more stress on defenses than they were at times last year. So that's mine. And you know, I would love to have seen what Tennessee would have looked like if Kamal Haddon had stayed healthy. I mean, when you talk about nearly 100 yards difference in passes and passing yards given up, I think it's 76 yards more given up once Kamal Haddon got hurt. I mean, that was a big time injury to that secondary that changed kind of where that defense was. So I just think offensively they're going to put more stress on people than they did a year ago.
I'm at 10-2 as well. Like AP, I don't necessarily know where that second. I mean, one loss is going to be at Georgia. There's no shame in saying you're going to lose on the road at Georgia. I'm confident about Tennessee and NC State. I'm confident about Tennessee and Oklahoma, even though Oklahoma will be favored, and I recognize they're a good team. And
do you buy into the conspiracy theory that the SEC will set up Oklahoma to win their first ever game in the league?
I do not, because I'm going to pick Tennessee to win that game. But,
well, but and also that would jibe with, you know, SEC having it in for Tennessee. That would dovetail nicely.
It checks out. Not going to lie.
Meanwhile, Texas plays Mississippi State in their SEC opener.
We know who Austin's picking for that first game. Then right there, we'll be having people storm the SEC office in Birmingham on Monday.
Because Tennessee is so deep and talented compared to any other team Josh Heupel's had, because the depth is going to show up this year, I think, in a big way. I think sky's the limit. I think you can be 10 wins in the regular season as long as you keep number 8 in the football game, for sure. All right, that'll do it here for this edition of the VolQuest Mailbag Podcast. Thanks so much for sending in all your questions. If we didn't get to your questions, I had them on the sheet, but we're 47 minutes in. We got to call it a day. Appreciate you guys, as always. Big thanks to Exterior Home Solutions for being the presenting sponsor of the show. If you need help with roofing, siding, windows, garage, home renovations, home repairs, contact Exterior Home Solutions today. They've been local and trusted in East Tennessee, first choice in roofing and more since 1999. That phone number is 865-524-5888 or online at exteriorhomesolutions.com. For Austin Price, Brent Hubbs, Rob Lewis, I'm Eric Kane. Thanks so much for joining us here on the VolQuest Mailbag Podcast.
You've been listening to the VolQuest Mailbag Podcast every week right here on VolQuest.